What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This is the Spurs Cast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. On today's episode, I'll be speaking with Project Spurs Director of Digital Content, Joe Garcia. In this episode, Joe and I will discuss the Spurs in their last five games, Charles Bassey's season-ending injury, and Zach Collins' overall season as he's been playing with the Spurs this season. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode with Joe. Joe, how are you doing?
Doing good. Just trying to stay warm here in San Antonio. I mean, it's spring break, and it was warm last week. And then this week has been a totally different animal altogether. It's been in the 40s. It's cold. It's windy. I'm like, what's going on, man? I mean, we need to get rid of winter. I want spring. I want it to be warm again, Paul.
Yeah, y'all are getting my kind of weather, man. I live over here by the mountains now, and I'm usually in the 30s and 40s, and I saw you guys, you all in San Antonio were in the low 40s too. So
yeah, man.
Pretty similar. All right, Joe. So it's been a while since I last recorded SpursCast. It's been about 9 days. You know, spent some time seeing the family. I went to San Antonio to visit, and then had some family join me. So I haven't been on for about nine days. And so let's talk about the last five games for the Spurs, because they played a number of games here. They've actually done pretty well here. They went 2-3 in their last five games. Now, I know if you watch the games, you know, they fell apart there in their most recent loss to the Memphis Grizzlies in overtime. But overall, they've been winning games. I mean, we saw this team go on a 14-game losing streak. So this is actually improvement for them. Let's go back to last Friday. The Spurs are hosting the Denver Nuggets, the number one seed Denver Nuggets in the West at the time. The Spurs defeated the Nuggets by 8 points. The Nuggets led for the first half, but then the Spurs took over in the second half and basically held on to that lead, and Denver could never, you know, make that full comeback. And the spur of the game on this night was Doug McDermott. He was a really good shooter off the bench for San Antonio. Then last Sunday, the Spurs were hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder. They lost by 12 to the Thunder, who were without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The Thunder pretty much held a comfortable lead for most of that game. The spur of the game in this night was Zach Collins. He played very well for San Antonio. Then on Tuesday this past week, the Spurs hosted the Orlando Magic, and they defeated them in a blowout. They won by 18, San Antonio. The Spurs held pretty much a comfortable lead throughout. They really weren't challenged by Orlando's defense. And the Spurs set a new franchise record for made threes with 22 made threes in this game. Again, Zach Collins was the best player for San Antonio. On Wednesday, on the second night of back-to-back, the Spurs are hosting the Dallas Mavericks without Luka Doncic and without Kyrie Irving, and they lost by 9 in overtime. This game was pretty close throughout. Nobody really pulled away, but then in the final 2 minutes is when Dallas really put together their lead, and they ended up closing out the game. The best Spur for this game was Malachi Branham. And then the most recent game, Joe, was another overtime loss for the Spurs. They're hosting the Memphis Grizzlies without Ja Morant. They lose by 6 in overtime, and this was one where the Spurs should have had this game. They were up by 29 points in the third quarter, And with 1 minute left, they're up by nine. And I literally thought the game was over. I was like typing my post game notes, like, oh, the Spurs are going to move into this after winning the game. And no, with a 9 point lead, 1 minute left, they end up the Grizzlies force overtime. And then in the final minute of overtime, the Grizzlies pull away and they end up winning by six. The best player for San Antonio this night was Devin Vassell. So, Joe, overall, Vegas said the Spurs should have gone 0-5 in these last five games, but instead they actually went 2-3. They could have gone 3-2 had they pulled out that Memphis game, and even actually 4-1, even if they pulled out the Dallas game. So, again, playing better basketball. I know it doesn't seem like it after that loss to the Grizzlies, but what are your thoughts on this team kind of gelling a little bit better, and especially getting better defensively in these last five games?
Yeah, that's the key, though. They've been getting better defensively, and you've seen some growth out of just not only the young core, but even your seasoned veteran players are playing a little bit better as well. It seems like the team is gelling well together now. They found some cohesiveness down the stretch here, which is a good thing. That's basically what you want to see out of a young team that, again, hasn't had the season that Spurs fans have wanted. But we kind of knew that we're going to be here in this full-on rebuild. Yeah. And I got to say, though, the one person that really surprised me that I think really threw the game for the San Antonio Spurs when they were up by 29 points in the final minute of that Grizzlies game in that fourth quarter, Zach Collins was booty crumbs. You know, he made a lot of mistakes, and unfortunately, those mistakes actually did cost the Spurs, because what happened is that the Grizzlies were able to convert on, I believe, back-to-back threes. And from that point on, I mean, that was pretty much it. You had an offensive foul. I believe you had like a tie-up, and then you had a jump ball, and then just didn't go in the Spurs' favor. So unfortunately for the Spurs, you see them still making those critical mistakes in crunch time down the stretch in the fourth quarter. Same thing happened to them in the previous game. I believe it was against the Mavericks. And same thing happened to him there. And then you look to see in this last game against the Grizzlies, same thing happened to him there. And unfortunately, they just couldn't keep up. You know, they just couldn't keep pace once they fell behind, you know, going into the overtime session. And that's pretty much all she wrote. You know, they just kind of looked like they kind of ran out of gas. You know, shots weren't falling anymore. And you can contribute that to them just being tired. And, you know, credit to Memphis. They never gave up. They kept on playing through everything that was presented to them. And they were just a better veteran basketball club, and they won, you know. So you can't do nothing but tip your hat to them. And I know a lot of the fans are going to feel a certain way with Dylan Brooks screaming and yelling and talking all this, you know, trash. And I mean, you don't like seeing that? Win the game, you know, that's all you got to do. So hopefully it's a learning experience for them, and they'll learn from this. And it's going to hurt, but it's for the greater good. Because what happened now, Paul, with the Spurs losing, now we have the Rockets that won, so they did us a solid. Yep. So the Spurs are the second worst team in the NBA, behind only the Charlotte Hornets. So they did the right thing. The Spurs did the right thing, and they lost.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And like, one thing I want to give, you know, credit to the Spurs is that we know that at this point of the season, their roster is never going to be like have any consistency. Basically, it looks like the pattern is like, if Kelden plays one game, he's going to be out the next night with an injury. If Devin plays one game, he's out the next night with an injury. Even Zach Collins has started to sit games. Even Devontae Graham started to sit games. So I think that's the thing we're going to see with this team, is there's never going to be a consistent roster out there each night. And just because they're, you know, they're already at that point where it's almost over, and they want to just make sure everybody's, you know, healthy to end the season. They don't want a situation like Charles Bassey, where we saw him get injured for the rest of the year. We'll talk about him a little bit later. So that's the thing to give credit to the Spurs. The fact that they're competitive in these games, they actually held the lead, could have won these games despite having all this like weird inconsistency with the roster. All right, so Joe, now let's look at big picture. Kind of something you were talking about here is, how are the Spurs doing through 70 games? Still 29th on offense, you know, still hasn't moved. Even when they're playing better, you know, they're 4-6 in the last 10. They're still about 28th in offense during their last 10. So the offense has still been a struggle for them. They're 30th on defense overall, yes, but in these last 10 games, like I talked about, their defense has really improved. They're actually 13th ranked defense in the last 10 games, which is, you know, right, a little bit better than league average. And that's a good sign for going into next season, the fact that this group of players can put together a 13th ranked defense for at least 10 games. 30th in net rating still. Like you mentioned, Joe, they're 18-52 overall. Now they moved to 15th out west now that the Rockets won last night. And you and I are recording this on a Saturday morning. There are 12 games left in the season, so the season is almost over. There's no incentive to win all these games just because you can't make the playoffs. They're already eliminated. What happened was they're tied for the second worst record in the league with the Rockets. And what that does is still a 14% chance of getting the number one overall pick for Victor Wembanyama, but their worst case scenario improves. Basically, they can only fall to six now if they end up with the second worst record in the league. And Joe, let's go ahead and do our draft simulation like we did last time when you were on the Spurs guest. And let's see how many tries it would take for the Spurs to get Victor Wembanyama to get the number one overall pick. So I have Tankathon up right now, their draft simulation. Okay, and let's do our first. Let's see how many chances.
Come on, I got my fingers crossed.
One, nope. Two, nope. Three, nope. Four, no. Five, uh-oh.
Now it froze.
Six. Oh, man. Seven. Wow. Eight. Mm. Nine. 10. 11. 11 chances 11. There. Wow. So, I mean, again, that's just, again, we like to do that here on the Spurs cast just to show that those 40% lottery odds don't mean that there's a guarantee that the Spurs end up with Victor Wembanyama at the end of the year, even if they finish with the bottom three record. What are your thoughts, Joe, on just how this team's doing overall?
They're getting a little bit better, but overall, you know, you still see that they're missing a couple pieces here. And hopefully they can go ahead and figure things out. The draft will be in their favor as well, and they'll get a fairly high pick, you know, just like you said right now with that simulator, 11 tries for them to get that number one pick. Overall, I still have them at least maybe three or four, which is still not that bad. As you said, they can only fall to six if they go ahead and, you know, keep their current trajectory. So overall, it's not that bad. You know, situation could be a lot worse. We could, let's say like this, Spurs fans, the team could have made a bad trade and this pick could have went to somebody else and the Spurs would have been, you know, in the same situation. They would have just been that much worse next season, but they have something to look forward to. They do have some picks coming up and the upcoming drafts as well. So hopefully they can flip those and turn those into some key pieces that the team needs to go ahead and be, you know, get competitive again in the Western Conference, and not only in the West, but also in the NBA period. Cause who doesn't miss watching this team on national games again, seeing them on the TNTs, on the ESPN, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, we're just delegated to watching them here in our regional sports networks, you know, and we get a solid, game over a couple games over here on, you know, over the air TV on Cans or CW, you know, that's a plus. But yeah, man, it's just one of those things showing you where the team is at currently. So better things are coming. We just got to be patient. And again, hopefully that the team can keep the current trajectory, Paul, and, you know, beat the odds a little bit, maybe come three, four, maybe beat everything and get that number one pick. Lightning, you know, strikes three times for the San Antonio Spurs. I got my fingers crossed, but just looking at the team as a whole, you still see that there's still some growth that needs to be made, but there's some things you can be excited for as a Spurs fan. It's just not a total wash. There are things that are going on that you can be excited for as far as the growth in the young core.
Yeah, and just like one thing I wanted to say, just going back to how the game went last night against the Grizzlies, is that like, had the Spurs won that game, they would have been projected to, at best case scenario, getting 22 wins, which would have caught Charlotte if Charlotte, you know, had a terrible ending to the season. And the fact that they lost, now they're not on track anymore to catch Charlotte. So again, it's just like, we're going to have to really watch these last 12 games closely, because there's going to be so much movement there in those bottom four to see, you know, who ends up winning, who ends up having the worst record. So again, that'll be very interesting, especially I think the Spurs have a good chance of actually having a worse record than Houston, because Houston's actually playing well. They're 5-5 in their last 10, so they're winning some games here. Detroit's pretty much ran away with that 30th worst record right there. They're like 1-9 in the last 10, and then Charlotte's actually struggling. So you got to keep an eye on Charlotte from moving from 4 to like 3 or 2, and then maybe Houston moving into 4 or 3. So again, that's just something to watch with the last 10 games going on. Last 12 games.
Should I say something too, Paul? It seems like every time we do those scenarios, you know, the draft simulators, Utah is sneaky. They get in there in that number one or the number two or the number three spot or even four, you know, they keep on continuously coming in there. So I don't know. I think that's kind of going to go tell you that, you know, Utah can be one of these sneaky teams that might come in and kind of bump the Spurs back, you know, from 3 to 4 or something.
Yeah, if that happens, it reminds me of a scenario when Memphis got Ja Morant a few years ago. They weren't, you know, they didn't have, I don't think they had the second worst record, and they ended up sneaking in there from the bottom and getting and ended up getting him. So again, just something to watch. Again, there's no guarantee with these draft simulators or with the draft lottery now that the odds have kind of equaled out a little bit for a lot of teams. All right, so let's go ahead and get into some injury news. Unfortunately for Charles Bassey, on Wednesday the Spurs announced that he will be out for the remainder of the season. Now I know that sounds like a big deal, remainder of the season. It sounds like these big words, but really it's 12 games. That's all they have left. With a non-displaced fracture in his left patella. So again, a quick Google search tells you that's a fractured kneecap. So unfortunately for Bassey, this is, you know, in most years you would say, okay, it's just 12 games. But the fact that this is a rebuilding team where he's going to get a lot of minutes would have been a good opportunity for him. And it really stinks for him that he was actually having a pretty decent season off the bench here after playing in the G League. And the fact that he has to miss these final 12 games to have that opportunity. So let's just look at Bassey's season, how he finished it this year with the Spurs. In 35 games, he averaged 5.7 points off the bench and four shot attempts a night. 5.5 rebounds really stands out on the team. 2.1 fouls, 1.3 assists, 1.2 turnovers, and almost a block per game in just 15 minutes a night. Again, 0.9 blocks, 0.5 steals. Where he really stood out amongst the team bigs were in deflections on defense, steals, blocks, defensive rebounds per 36 minutes. His one flaw in defense this year was he did foul too much. And then what does the Spurs' front court look like? It looks like there's a lot of players available, but really when we talk about what we said earlier, Joe, the fact that they're resting almost a player every night, they are very thin in the front court. So you have Zach Collins still as your starting five. You have Jeremy Sochan as your starting four.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
But again, those players are probably going to play once every other night or every other game. Kade Bates-Jopp is at the four. He was injured recently in the most recent loss to Memphis. He plays the four. The new player, Sandro Mamukelashvili, has been getting a lot of minutes, and he's very versatile. He can play the four and five. He's going to continue to see increased minutes. Rookie Dominic Barlow is going to get a lot of run here. He plays the five. And then Gorgui Dieng, when they really have to go to him, is going to play the five. But we saw like last night against Memphis, that third string unit, they really couldn't hold that lead. And that's where Memphis started to make that comeback against the Spurs with their depth. So that's going to be an issue for them. The fact that they're resting a lot of players or players are out due to injury management. And they have a very slim front court. What are your thoughts, Joe, on Charles Bassey being out for the rest of the season?
I think it's a good thing, you know, for him to go ahead and get some rest there. And hopefully we'll see what happens with that microfracture, the fractured kneecap. But I got to say, the one thing that does concern me, too, is that if you look at what's happened in the history of players who have had this type of injury, you go back and you have players like Amari Stoudemire, You have Penny Hardaway, Chris Webber, Alan Houston, Ron Harper. They were just never the same after they had this surgery. It kind of hastened on, you know, the end of their basketball careers. Amari Stoudemire in particular, I remember when he was known for his high, you know, hops that he had. He would jump up there with the best of them. Very athletic, you know, very athletic, big, being able to grab rebounds and be very aggressive inside the paint. And once he had that surgery, he just wasn't the same anymore. He just didn't have that explosiveness, you know, that leaping ability. And it seemed like his, you know, his athleticism left him a little bit as well. He wasn't as mobile after that surgery. I'm hoping that, you know, Charles Bassey is going to fare better with, you know, today's medicine, you know, is a lot better than it was back in, you know, the 2000s, 2010s. But again, it's just something to keep an eye on if you are a Spurs fan, you know, and just to see how well he's going to come back from this injury. And again, I don't want the Spurs to rush him because you just extended him. So the best thing to do is proceed with caution, even if he might have to miss most of the season next in this upcoming season, you know, the 2023-2024 season. So his injury is not something that should be taken lightly. It warrants your attention, and it's going to also depend on how well the Spurs are able to work him back into game shape. So just pray that he comes back stronger and better than ever. That's all we can hope for.
Yeah, for sure. And looking at his contract, I was looking, like you said, they extended him. He's guaranteed for next season for sure on the roster. And then the final 2 years are non-guaranteed. So again, that's just something to keep an eye on. And again, you hope that he was having a good season. Like I said, off the bench, he was really popping out in certain areas there statistically. And then it stinks for him that he has to miss the remainder of the season, you know, with that kneecap injury. All right. And then the last player I want to talk about here, Joe, is Zach Collins. We talked about him before on the Spurs cast, but I kind of wanted to highlight how he's really having some pretty good games, except for, like you said, that fourth quarter against Memphis when he struggled down the stretch. Throwing that aside, let's talk about Zach's overall season now. And again, this is a big deal for him, the fact that he's getting a lot of run now, and he's actually been healthy. After facing multiple years of injuries with Portland and then even trying to rehab back and getting in shape for San Antonio's run. So let's talk about his overall season. So he's averaging 11.1 points on 8 shot attempts, 6.2 rebounds, 2.8 assists, 3.1 fouls, 0.5 steals, 2 turnovers, and 0.7 blocks in 22 minutes a night. He's really stood out these last 3 games he's played in. He's actually averaged 20-plus points in all 3 games. And a big part of that is he's starting to take more threes and making those threes. He's making like in each of those 20-point games, he's made like 3 or more threes. So that's a big part of it, the fact that he's really showing, highlighting that pick-and-pop game that he provides to the Spurs. Let's look at his shot analysis. We note that 62% of his shots come from the paint. So he definitely takes more shots there. 27% come from the three-point line. He's really doing a great job of doing what Jakob Poeltl used to do. He scores well near the rim, and he's actually scoring well in like that floater range. On his three-point shot, he doesn't take many corner threes, but when he does take that pick and pop three out on the above the break three, he's actually making it well. He's averaging 1.20 points per shot on that shot, and defenses are paying whenever they leave him open. Whenever he sets a pick for one of the guards, he immediately pops back to the three-point line, and defenses definitely leave him wide open. 75% of his threes are attempted wide open, and he's making them pay. He's making 1.21 points per shot on that shot. One thing he doesn't do much is take pull-up threes, but I've noticed that if he catches it about 21 feet, he kind of does one pop dribble and steps back and then launches the three. And that's interesting to watch, the fact that he's working on that shot right now with just 12 games left, because if he perfects that or gets it, masters it a little bit better in the offseason, then comes in next year with that pull-up jumper when he takes that one step back, that's going to be very interesting to see if he adds that to his game. It just makes him a more versatile player. Some other things I want to note about Zach Collins this year. He has been, according to one of my box score models that I created, he's been a top 3 player for San Antonio in 32% of his games that he's played in, but he's really started to pop off ever since the trade deadline, which we expected that with Jakob Poeltl being gone, there's a lot more opportunity for him. He's really done a great job of standing out on the team in these since the trade deadline. As far as post-ups, he's the team leader there. He's attempted 162 post-ups. He's making 54% of his shots in the post-up, so that's an efficient number. 51% of the times he shoots the ball. He passes 25% of the time in the post-up. He gets to the free throw line about 10%, and then he does turn it over a bit, 8% of the time when he's in the post-up. He stands out on defense amongst the Spurs bigs in contested shots per 36 minutes and defensive rebounds per 36 minutes, where he looks like some areas that he stands out across all bigs across the league, according to Cleaning the Glass. He's in the 93rd percentile in assist percentage for bigs, so he does a great job moving the ball as a big. 85th percentile in assisted rim mix, so this means that he can create his own shot near the rim. Frequency of taking threes is slightly above league average for his position, and also slightly above league average for his position in defensive rebounding. And then he's actually outperforming his contract. According to Profit X, he's playing like a player earning $9.9 million when his real contract is only $7.3 million. So he's outperforming his contract by $2.6 million. And then lastly, we know that he's on a non-guaranteed deal next season for $7.7 million. I do think the Spurs are going to pick that up just because they have to make that decision by June 23rd before this free agency gets here. And again, he's outperforming his contract. He's playing like a $10 million player right now with the production he's bringing. What have been your thoughts, Joe, on Zach Collins this year?
Zach Collins has been the tale of two halves, you know, let's put it like that. He got injured. You didn't play many minutes because he had to go ahead and, you know, go through rehab and whatnot, get back into game shape. But, you know, you got to give credit to him. He did what he needed to do to come right back and be productive. And, you know, with the Spurs once again, you know, and he's finishing the season strong, especially with the trade with Jakob Poeltl, getting many more minutes there, much more minutes there, should I say, and actually being productive. So there's some good points, as you just pointed out, you know, the strong points of his game. However, there is one thing that I do want to address here, and is for all the accolades and for all the, you know, the stats that you just pointed out right now of Zach Collins being a team leader and, you know, being able to contribute in a big way for the San Antonio Spurs being their starting center. You got to question his temper. You know, if you're going to be looked upon as a leader, one of the things you have to do is you got to kind of control your emotions out there on the court. And he's been getting in these dust ups the last couple of games. You know, he got into a back and forth again with Dylan Brooks. You can't let players trigger you, because that actually translates as far as that body language, that mantra, that energy. You transfer that onto your teammates. And what happens is that Spurs were up prior to that little dust up that he had with Dylan Brooks. After the dust up, what happened? The Grizzlies go and they go on a run. They tie the game. They go into overtime. They win the game. You know, and again, when you let your emotions get the better of you, you're not as focused. You're out there. You're angry. You know, you're just wanting to get revenge and whatnot. But I mean, it's a stupid thing to do, especially you don't want to be a detriment to your team. You don't want to be getting into foul trouble. You don't want to be getting those, you know, the, you know, technical fouls like him and Dylan Brooks got again. You know, they had the double technicals. All these things cost your team. It hurts your team in the end, you know. So if you want to really help your team win, you got to keep your emotions in check. I'm sure Coach Pop will address that with him at some point in time. He probably did right after the game as well.
Yeah.
But it's an ongoing thing that you've seen from him. He just needs to be able to keep those emotions in check. You know, you're out there to perform, and how are you going to help your team when all the time you're letting people get under your skin? You just got to set a better tone. If somebody's going to talk crap to you, smile. Let your game do the speaking, you know, like Tim Duncan used to do. Some of the greats, you know, some of them wouldn't even talk, you know, trash. They would just be like, say what you want. You're not going to rattle me. And by you not engaging in that type of behavior, it send a message to them like, it doesn't work on this guy. You know, I'm just wasting my energy and wasting my breath. And you get them out of their game because they're so focused on trying to get you rattled that they forget what they're doing, you know? So I think Zach Collins just, you know, he's young, but he needs to keep that under control because, again, you don't want that to be a detriment to the team moving forward.
Yeah, no, you have a great point there. And especially I would like to see how he would handle that if they were actually a winning club, if they were like a playoff level team. You know, I think that would be huge. I think it would be way more obvious, the fact that, you know, that part of his game. I know that, you know, sometimes his teammates and even like Pop has said, like, he brings some nastiness to the team, some physicality. I think right now, because they're a losing club, you know, they're usually, you know, like I said, 30th on defense. They kind of like that a little bit from him. But again, I am eager to see if they play better next year or even like 2 or 3 years down the road. And he's still on the team, you know, how does that affect when they're actually a winning club? I am interested in seeing, you know, where does that translate, like you mentioned there. And so I just think that, you know, he's had a pretty good year here. I wanted to ask you this, though, because, you know, some rumors about how Victor Wembanyama wants to most likely play the four when he comes to the NBA next year. If the Spurs got lucky and landed Wembanyama, do you think Zach's the pretty good player to have there to start alongside him, where Zach plays the five starting? Or do you think they should actually go out and either try to trade for a center or try to sign a center because they're going to have a lot of cap space next offseason? What are your thoughts about Zach fitting in with a player like Wembanyama?
You have that possibility that the Spurs are just going to stand pat. You know, they can go ahead and, you know, pick up Zach for a bargain basement deal of what, $7.5 million if they wind up picking him up because it's non-guaranteed. He has a non-guaranteed contract. And they do, in fact, get the number one pick, and they go with Wemby, Victor Wembanyama. Yeah, it would be great to see him on the court at the same time together, you know, because you're getting a player that's already knows the Spurs system and shows that they can be productive. It's not going to be, you know, that Zach Collins is going to be your superstar, but you need all these pieces together in order to give you the best chances of winning. And I think the Spurs just, you know, have a good thing here with Zach Collins. If they go, in fact, do draft Victor Wembanyama, to keep the most of the team intact there, and you're not having to break the bank necessarily. If there's really no big name free agents that are going to be available, why do you have to go out there and spend that money on, you know, players that might not necessarily fit just because you want to add a body? Well, sometimes adding bodies is also a detriment to the team. Just go ahead and keep that cohesiveness that they've built so far the season and keep it going into next season. So I think if they do draft Wemby, there's no need to rush out there and try to sign somebody. Again, just keep that money. And if something, you know, comes up and, you know, the next season, then maybe that's something you can go ahead and take a look at. But no need to go ahead and just go and sign a star, an aging star. You don't need to do that. I think the Spurs are smart enough, you know, to go ahead and just stand pat. Plus, you know, they have all those other picks that are coming up in, you know, the upcoming drafts to look forward to. So no need to hit the panic button and just go out there and buy bodies just because the fans want you to do it. You know? Yeah. So I think they're going to play it smart.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I think Zach would be a great fit next to Wembanyama just because of his versatility, where if Wemby wants to go one-on-one and go into, you know, into the paint and score, Zach can just pop out for three. If Wemby wants to spot up and shoot threes, well, then Zach can actually be the player who kind of plays in the post like we talked about a little bit earlier. So I think that he has a great versatile game to add. You know, defensively, there's going to be some issues there for the team in the front court, because Zach's, you know, his numbers don't pop off the page very well defensively compared to other bigs in the league overall. That's an area to watch. But again, if they're just going to kind of still be like a more of a rebuilding, growing kind of team next year, then I don't think there's any rush to go out and try to force your way to the trade for center or try to sign a center. So again, we'll see what happens there.
He's healthy too, Paul. Hopefully he can stay healthy.
Yes, that's a big thing too. And I was very, it's a good thing to see that his minutes have been like one of the top, I think in overall minutes, he's like in the top five of Spurs players. So again, that just shows a credit to the fact that he's been able to stay healthy so far. And I think that the Spurs will keep up that approach with him and Vassell and Keldon and Sohan and all these players of like, you play one night and then the next game you're probably going to sit for some sort of injury or injury management. And it's just smart to do just to make sure these players don't get hurt, like we saw with Charles Bassey, unfortunately, with just 12 games left. All right, so thank you to Joe for joining me on this episode of the Spurs Cast, and also for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.